The House Committee on Education for the 25th of February, 2015. Okay, I'm going to open a work session for introduction of committee bills.
Chair Doherty?
I move that the following LCs be introduced as committee bills. LC 2756, dated February 25th, 2015. LC 2014, dated February 25th, 2015. LC 2010, dated February 25th, 2015. And LC 1531, dated February 24th, 2015.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves the following LCs be introduced as committee bills. LC 2756, dated February 25th, 2015. LC 2014, dated February 25th, 2015. LC 2010, dated February 25th, 2015. And LC 1531, dated February 24th, 2015. Again, you just don't need to agree with these, but just to introduce them as committee bills. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none. Is there any objection? Okay, then if not, these measures are introduced as committee bills. Okay, so I close the work session, and I'm going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 2150. And we are going to be waiting for Representative Barnhart. So after he reads, after Richard reads it, we may go in recess for a couple of minutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2150 requires district extended ADMW to be calculated by considering students in public charter schools to be students in non-chartered public schools. It allows the superintendent of public instruction to withhold payments from the state school fund for amounts a school district has received when extended ADMW for students in public charter schools and students in non-chartered public schools were calculated separately. It declares an emergency effective 1st of July this year.
Okay, thank you. Representative Barnhart, your timing is perfect.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Phil Barnhart. I'm the state representative from House District 11. I want to describe, if I may, an incident that took place about a year ago involving one of the many, many school districts in my legislative district. I received word that a district was considering trying to become a charter district. And the idea that they were pursuing was that under the rule that we currently have, a school district can consider for the purpose of its ADMW the current, the past year's student attendance or this year's student attendance, whichever is greater, and that number becomes the number then for funding purposes. And because they would become a charter school, they could count the same students in the charter school program for the current year. The result of that, because of the way the statute is currently written, it is very possible that they would have been able to successfully argue that they should, in effect, get double funding. The point of this bill, and I hope it does this, is to remove that ambiguity in the statute to make it clear that a maneuver like that will not work. I explained to them that I would do whatever it took to make sure that maneuver did not work because it deprived the students around the state, other students around the state, of funding and unfairly advantaged that school district through a maneuver that frankly was not contemplated by anybody in dealing with our funding formulas and our statutes. So that's the point of this bill, and that's why we brought it, and I hope it accomplishes that one change. I will tell you that my threat worked. They decided not to continue with their attempt to become a charter school district.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Representative Barnhart?
Who else do we have testifying? I might hold my question.
I do have one question. So basically what this is a school, there could be a possibility that a charter or a school district or either or the or would get double funding for students. So if they were supposed to get $10 million, they'd get $20 million?
Well, and that would be, Madam Chair, that would be in the worst possible case. But let's look at a different case, a much more normal case, a district agrees to the establishment of a charter school that moves a significant number of students out of the regular schools into this charter school. If this mechanism, as we currently have it, remains in place and the ambiguity is interpreted in their favor, every one of the students that moves to the charter school might be double counted, assuming that the total number of students in the district remain the same.
Okay, thank you.
Do we, Madam Chair, do we have folks testifying on this?
Pardon?
Do we have folks testifying on this bill that can answer questions as well?
We have Mark Hazelton, Jan McComb, and Michael Elliott from ODE will be here to testify and answer questions from the ODE end of
it.
Yes, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm still trying to wrap my head around this, but I'm thinking of how schools are funded, and school districts, if I'm understanding this correctly, are allowed to choose the higher of the 2 years. So this isn't just about charter schools. This is about all schools. All schools have that option.
Madam Chair, Madam Vice Chair, yes, that is correct. The object of the drafting of this bill was simply to prevent double counting. That's all. It wasn't intended to prevent a district from taking advantage of last year's numbers if they were higher. The point of that particular rule, of course, is to allow small school districts a chance to adjust over the period of a year to the fact that enrollment's declining. But we're dealing with a situation in which we're not talking about declining enrollment. We're actually talking about, because of an artifact, counting the same student twice.
Thank you.
Representative Hack.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So if there's an instance, let's say, for example, there's a charter school that's brought to light because of an online situation, and I missed the beginning of your testimony, so you may have already covered this, but the weighting then goes, it could be a case where a district benefits tremendously from a huge dollar amount of students who are no longer there. And that district should have shown, and true, you can tell me if I'm wrong here, or I'd like to ask, I guess, shouldn't that district have shown some fiduciary responsibility in planning for the fact that they were no longer going to have these students? And that shouldn't be a burden of the state to then fund all of these students that they no longer have. Should there not have been a fiduciary responsibility on the school district to have made accommodation for that, knowing that they wouldn't have these students?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Hack. I completely agree. I think the point of this bill is simply to make sure that that is, in fact, the case and that they do, in fact, have that responsibility.
Follow up. Mm-hmm. And so just to be clear, this does not hurt school districts in that the carryover that they can plan for the next year, which Representative Springer was clear to point out, it's not hurting or changing how school districts carry over. What this merely does is to say that if you have a situation where you've had an extra 2,000 students on your rolls based on a given situation which you no longer would contractually have, you should have had the forethought and responsibility to plan for the fact that you no longer would have those, and we're not going to. We shouldn't be taking dollars from other students to pay for this if a district didn't plan for that, especially if those students weren't technically in your seats of your school. I guess I could just come right out and say an example of that, but I don't know that I should really do that, and I don't know if those folks are here to testify, so I'm not sure that I should. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative Hack, I believe that this the point of this bill is to do exactly what you're talking about. The current rule, as I understood it before the school district that I was describing came forward with its plan, is that a district has the opportunity, that we have districts that are slowly declining in enrollment all around the state, especially the small districts, and that they have the opportunity under the rule to use last year's numbers or this year's numbers of students. If they're in a declining enrollment situation, they're going to use last year's numbers because that gives them an extra cushion of time during which they can plan then for future years as they move forward. What this particular stratagem involved was not a situation in which we were dealing with declining enrollment. We were simply dealing with students moving from the regular school to the charter school. Mm-hmm. Two public schools were operated presumably by the same school district. And the result is that the students are counted twice, once in last year's numbers when they were still a regular public school student, and once in this year's numbers as a charter school student. And they get to, and under the rule, it was as it was literally written in the statute. My view was that they could be counted twice. The point of the bill is to clarify that they cannot.
One more follow-up.
One more, because Michael Elliott will be coming up.
And there are other people who can probably describe this a whole lot better than I can, Madam.
So if those students choose by the charter to leave that district, what this bill does is to clean it up so that that district does not, they're not allowed to then count those students the following year. So if 2,000 students decided to leave by way of that charter, then that district would not be able to then get those dollars. Correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Hack, I believe that if the district lost students, they would be allowed to utilize the current rule that we have in place that allows them to use last year's numbers for that decline in enrollment. But if the students are enrolled in the charter school that's being run by the district, they wouldn't be allowed to count them twice.
That's what I just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other questions of Representative Barnhart? We do have Jan McComb and Michael Elliott from ODE to also talk about this.
And they may be able to give you a much better explanation.
I think you gave a good explanation.
And they may be able to tell you whatever drafting errors we might have in it.
Okay, fine.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much for testifying. Okay, Jan McComb and Michael Elliott.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Jan McComb with the Oregon Department of Education, and with me is Michael Elliott, our state school fund coordinator. And you heard from him earlier this session when he went over the state school fund and how it worked. The department is neutral on the bill, but we have been asked to explain the technicalities of how this all works. And I believe your administrator did hand out a little one-pager that shows a little table. So Michael will walk through why this got changed back in 2011, what provoked the change, the unintended consequence of that change, how this bill fixes the change, but how this bill doesn't fix maybe everything that people would like to fix.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Michael Elliott with the Department of Education. So back in 2011, a proposal was put forth to the legislature to help districts that were in declining enrollment that saw charter schools and increased enrollment. The concern was not with opening or closing charter schools, but that the district was sending more money to the charter school, and the district was seeing an impact on its finances and would be less willing to work with the charter school, less willing to open more charter schools in the district because they're seeing this impact on their finances. The reason why is because how extended ADMW worked at that time was the charter school students were counted as part of the district as a whole. So if you had a 10,000 student district, but only a 200 student charter school, even if the charter school doubled in size, it was likely not to impact the district's overall extended ADMW. An extended ADMW, just as a refresher, is the district will automatically get, they don't choose because they're always going to choose the greater of the two, Representative Springer, they're always going to get the greater of this year's ADMW or the previous year's ADMW. And so as charter schools were growing, more money was going to the charter school, but the district was not seeing a proportionate increase in their extended ADMW to account for that growth because they are bigger than the charter schools. This bill was, or not this bill, but back in 2011, House Bill 3417 was proposed and passed to try and address that, such that districts would get, their extended ADMW would recognize that charter school ADMW was increasing, and so 3417 was passed. An unintended consequence is what Representative Barnhart found out about during his school district. A lot of smaller school districts in the state have moved to an all-charter district. They have one school, and it's a charter school. They've done that for numerous reasons. those districts that did that after 2011, it had what happened with the chart, where students were getting double counted. The students were getting counted once in the year previous as a district student, and once again in the current year as a charter school student, the result being double counting of those students, because again, charter school ADMW was calculated separately. This also happens when a charter school leaves a district or closes. The student will be counted once as a charter school, and then whether they go to their home district or stay in that district, they'll be counted once again as a student at the district level. So that's what the current bill does, and that was one of the unintended consequences. And why that happens is this little chart here that I prepared. I apologize, I did not label it, but it kind of explains where current law is and where the new, what 2150 proposes. Again, as you see, current law, you read across the table. So the non-charters in the district, and these are just, again, made up numbers. They don't represent any one district. I'm just for illustrative purposes only. The previous year, the district had 1,000 students and no charter school. The current year, a charter school opens, so now the district has 900 students and 100 charter students. If you add them vertically, you get 1,000, 1,000, no change. But the way current law works is the district non-charter are going to take the greater of the 2 years. They're going to take 1,000. The charter school student is also going to take the greater of the 2 years, and they'll take 100. So you get 1,000 plus 100 for a total of 1,100. House Bill 2150 will change that to what's down below, and you add vertically first, you go vertically first. So in the previous year, the district had 1,000 students and no charter. In the current year, the district has 900 students and 100 charter students. Added vertically, you're going to get your 1,000 and your 1,000, and that will be the no change, so you wouldn't see these bumps that Representative Barnhart is talking about with the bill. To address Representative Hack's question, district extended ADMW is still going to exist. So if you have a charter that is big enough to affect a district's extended ADMW, the district will still see a bump in funding if that charter school leaves the district. So if you have a district of, say, 1,000 students, I mean ADMW, but we'll call them students. So if you have 1,000 ADMW, but a charter of 2,000 ADMW, that charter will still, when it leaves, the district will still get the 3,000 ADMW simply because the charter was so big that it affected the district at such a significant level. So the year after the charter school leaves, the district would then go back to its normal amount. But for 1 year, it would get an additional source of revenue from those students that are no longer there because the charter school's extended ADMW was so large to affect the entire district as a whole. Mm-hmm. So this bill doesn't necessarily address that situation yet. So with that explanation, if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to answer the best of my ability.
Do you have any questions for Mr. Elliott? So the way I look at this is, and I'm just looking at bottom numbers, is that under the old or the current law, that actually you're paying for 100 extra children that kind of don't exist. So you're paying at a school district combined.
Yes.
You know, with both, you have 1,000 students. But because of the way that the formula is, currently you would be paying for 1,100.
Madam Chair, you are correct. The way the formula currently is, if you add a charter, you would be paying for students that wouldn't necessarily. This only is a case where it's declining enrollment. If the district is increasing in enrollment itself, then this doesn't affect because everybody's increasing enrollment, but in static or declining enrollment. I believe Representative Hack had a question.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. So let's go back really quick to the 1,000 and the 2,000. Mm-hmm. So if they have 1,000 enrolled and they've got 2,000 in the charter, they're going to still get the extended ADM even with this bill for the next year.
Representative,
is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Hack, that is correct. So if I could show you real quick.
So the 2,000 are not in the, so the 2,000 students have left the district, but they're going to continue to get the ADMW funding for that extended year the following year, even with this bill.
Madam Chair, Representative, what I'm trying to show you, and if it's too far away, I can
see it.
Okay. So if this is the previous year, there's your charter school, the 2,000. There's your district's enrollment of 1,000. And then the current year, the charter school moves or closes. Well, even adding vertically, you're still going to have a 3,000 and a 1,000. So even adding vertically, the district will get the greater of the 2 years. It will still get the 3,000 because the charter school is big enough. So this bill didn't necessarily address that situation.
So we still have a problem. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
Well, okay.
Representative McLean.
We have a half a problem. It fixes half of the problem. It fixes specifically what Representative Barnhart saw in the scenario that he gave us, because we're not double counting students the way this is written up in that one scenario. In the second scenario, because they have that extended year, which you described beautifully on why it was there and what it was put in originally for, that problem still exists. So we have half the problem. It's not like it doesn't fix anything. It fixed specifically what Representative Barnhart set out to fix. But if we want to address the other half of the problem, then it's going to mean that we need to think about an amendment, or we need to talk to Representative Barnhart about an amendment, or we need to talk to a work group about an amendment. But it fixes half of the problem.
Madam Chair, Representative McLean, you are correct. Excuse me. It fixes the problem that Representative Barnhart was describing, where a charter school opens in a district and the students are getting double counted for that 1 year. Now, after that year, they'll go back to normal. And also, any smaller charter that closes or moves, it will fix that problem as
exactly.
well. The only problem it's not fixing is where the charter is so big and the district is small that it's affecting a normal extended ADMW the way it would work under the bill.
For 1 year.
Makes sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank
any
you.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Do you have anything else?
We'll stay in the audience in case other questions arise during other testimony.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. Mark Hazelton. Welcome.
I'm Mark Hazelton from the Kings Valley Charter School.
In
the Philomath School District in Benton County.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to testify against a bill because I think it will disincentivize our districts to allow, and we're a small school in a small district, and we want to grow, and our district recently allowed us a few more kids, about 7 more kids, so we could and this is ADMW, so we could do the kindergarten. Mm-hmm. It's about $50,000 probably, or $60,000 for our district. And if the law goes as read, I believe they will, it'll affect their funding, because they're also shrinking, they're projected to shrink about 50 kids, I think, in the next year. And so they're going to shrink, and we're going to grow a little bit, and so their funding will be affected, and I prefer that not. And then the other part I don't like about the bill is the punishing effect on going back multiple years I think that's going to hurt my school district, and the Philomath District and the Kings Valley Charter School have a history of tension, and we just prefer not to have any new laws that cause more tension.
Okay. Are there any questions? Representative Springer?
Thank you. Excuse me. And thank you, Madam Chair. Could you, Mark, talk a little bit more about the punishing effect that you just mentioned and give us some details with that?
So at the kind of the very end of the bill, there is a retroactive go back to 2011 and redistribute the money or ask for a payment plan to pay it back. And I think that as we open up those previous years, for one, the money did go to the district under the current law, so I think it's kind of unfair to go back and undo funding that was lawful at the time. And I think it will. And for the Philomath District, you know, that small amount of money is significant. You know, whether it's $50,000 or $10,000 in a district that small will be an effect that's negative.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Okay, that's all we had signed up for this bill. Anybody else would like to speak on House Bill 2150? Okay, seeing none, I close the public hearing on House Bill 2150 and open up a public hearing on House Bill 2773. If you could read,
please. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2773 provides that any right to sue or to appeal or to other judicial review related to public charter schools or provided by other law may not be waived by contract. Declares an emergency effective on passage.
Okay. Thank you. Parrish.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Julie Parrish, House District 37, Westland Tualatin, bringing you House Bill 2773. That's sort of a mouthful. This is a bill that it was brought to me by folks who are running charter schools who feel like they sort of get locked up in their contract, sometimes over small details, but have sort of devastating consequences when those details aren't resolved, and that currently do not have a right to any type of appeal or judicial review, and that's what they are here today asking for. So it's a very simple line to add it into the statutes that would give them the right to not have to waive that in their contracting process when they are contracting with a sponsored district. And so I will turn it over to Mark, and he's got some examples of this that have really happened here in our state, and that a bill like this would have given them another avenue to solve some of their differences and their grievances. And so I'm going to turn it over to Mark, and I've got to run, but just wanted to sort of introduce the bill and let him have at it.
Do you have any questions of Representative Parrish before she goes off to other committee?
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Hazelton?
Thank you again.
You need to identify yourself.
Oh, I'm Mark Hazelton. I'm with the Kings Valley Charter School in the Philomath District in Benton County. The example that I want to bring, the actual example, is a school, the Corbett Charter School, which was one of the top-ranked schools in the United States by U.S. News Report, and certainly very high up in the Oregon, probably the top school in Oregon. And that school has been reduced to near nothing and will be gone next year. They got in a disagreement with their district, and the specifics of their charter included the lease of space. The Corbett district is pretty small, and so the district interpreted the contract to say that they were not required to lease space to the district. The charter school disagreed. However, in their charter, the charter school had given up the right to a judicial appeal. So the district interpreted the charter, and that was the end of it. And that school will be gone next year. So that's the situation that brought this to mind. I think the situations where the balance of power are very heavily in favor of the district are at the point of starting a charter school and the point of renewing. And in those situations, the charter school is very vulnerable to certainly not starting and also being closed. And so that balance of power often leads to a charter school giving up important clauses in the contract, thinking that there won't be issues and that we just want to exist and get going. And so charter schools are giving up something that, in this case, they regretted later. And they, you know, it's resulted in the closing of a really good school. My own experience at the Kings Valley Charter School, we had a disagreement around funding. And even the Oregon Department of Ed, I think, agreed on how we should be funded, but the district did not. Even the ODE has very limited recourse to compel a district to do what they think they should. And so we went to court. We had to go to court. So sometimes disputes are legitimate and they need to go to court. And if we wouldn't have had that, we didn't have that in our charter, so we were able to sue the district. And I think if we didn't, we would have had no recourse, you know. So I think that this bill would fix those kind of issues.
Are there any questions? Mr. Hitler, I have one. So the example you use is that you waived your right to or the Corbett, they waive their right to go, and I'm not a lawyer, but they waive their right. And so when the school district said, well, I'm no longer going to rent you or give you or loan you a lease, a space, they had no recourse to say, you guys do need to give us space, and these are the reasons why.
Correct. That's correct. And the lease was part of their charter agreement.
Okay. The question I have is if with the charter situation, it is public money, it's from, you know, the school, sometimes it's from the school district. If you had the right to sue them, who would pay for the lawsuit? Would it be separate money from the charter school, or is it public money that goes into the charter for the education of the students? In other words, who, or does the school district have to pay for the lawsuit against them?
Yeah, so the money would have been distributed, public funds would have been distributed to the charter school, and they would have to use those funds. The part of their that they have in their that they either say, for example, in Kings Valley, we were paid by the school district and had saved some of that money for emergencies, mm-hmm. and we had enough money to hire a lawyer for a while.
Okay, so the money that they got from the school district was used to sue the school district.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, fine. Thank you very much. Okay, that was the only other person we have signed up. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on House Bill 2773? Okay, seeing none, I close a public hearing on House Bill 2773. And short day today, that's the only thing we have. Any business, any questions or any business that you guys have?
Madam Chair, because I'm new, I just want to understand, you know, like the flow of work. Is there any way for us to talk about what's coming up next as far as the...
If it's put on the agenda, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's put on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. We're adjourned.
Well, that was simple.
Yeah.
We're adjourned.
Well, that was simple.